All right, it's Friday afternoon. Let's have some fun, shall we? The Olympics are up and running. The Reds return to the radio tonight. Heck, we had NFL football last night. We've got all kinds of things going on. First days of school are next week. IU's in football camp. Where are our friends at NASCAR? Well, helping me out to answer that question today is my NASCAR expert from Bloomington here. It's my great friend, Carl Goodman. Carl, welcome to the program, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well, Glass. Thanks for having me on. Very excited to be here.
Good to see you in my office instead of your office for once.
A little rare change.
That is fun. And Carl follows the racing more than anybody. How many races do you think you've been to in your life? Ballpark. We're not going to fact check this, but you're a big fan. Here's why. How many?
I usually hit most of the local ones, Michigan, Indianapolis. This will be year four or five in a row for going down to Talladega, so I'll be going down there in a couple of weeks in the beginning of October.
Armed and dangerous. Yeah. Oh, there we go, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Where are we in the season? The break is happening because I think NBC has the coverage, and they're in Paris, obviously, doing the Olympics that we're talking about as well. The Brickyard was on WGCL just a couple of Sundays ago, and the race wouldn't end. It kept going and going and going. So everyone was excited. It sounded like and felt like that they were going back to oval racing after three or four editions of the Grand Prix course, turning left, turning right. The Brickyard, as you've told me in the past on the oval, it's not known as one of the great racing tracks. Why is that? It's the aerodynamics. It's all the track stuff that goes with that. Help our listeners out on why they keep switching this back and forth.
The hard part with Indianapolis is the size of it. It's you can sit in turn one, but you can't see what's going on in turn three without a television. You go to a bigger track like Talladega, it's more open in the middle. You can see all the way through it. The higher bankings give it more speed. Indianapolis doesn't necessarily get the speed because of the low banking, the flat ground, the flat track.
And it wasn't made for NASCAR.
Correct.
It was made for Indy cars or that style.
And with them going back to the oval, I swore I would never go back since the 09 tire debacle. But they actually made it a good race. The Xfinity race was one of the best races I've seen this year there at Indianapolis, and the Cup race didn't disappoint. We were worried about cars not being able to pass, and you saw Larson change his tires there toward the end and drove right through the field right up to the front.
So, now, that was a great part of that story because Larson tried to pull the double for Memorial Day weekend on Sunday, running the Indianapolis 500 that ran into weather. So he gets to Charlotte late for the Coca-Cola. Is it still called the Coca-Cola? It's going to be the Coca-Cola to me.
It is.
It's going to be Market Square Arena. It's going to be the Hoosier Dome. It's going to be Deer Creek. We're just going to ride that way. He gets there, then the weather hits in Charlotte, so he can't do it. So that was kind of a cool story. Why is Larson so polarizing on the track?
It's just because he can get behind the wheel of anything and drive it. You get him behind a remote control in an RC car, and he's going to be one of the best in the world. A go-kart, dirt track, Xfinity car, truck, cup car.
So that's why he has the love-hate relationship, because people think he's got to do his time and work his way up. And nobody likes the young up-and-comer, right? Nobody liked when Jeff Gordon came up to take on Dale. We keep getting into these. And, well, I mean, even, I'm a big golf fan. When Tiger Woods came up, what's he going to do? He's just beating a bunch of junior guys. Well, look out. So Larson takes care of the victory at the Brickyard. The ending of the Brickyard for someone like me who's a casual fan was really difficult to follow. What is NASCAR trying to accomplish? I know it's late. I know they're running out of daylight. I know they're running out of tires and flags and gas and everything else. What is the method to the madness behind how they finish these races?
You know, I've seen them be so fast to throw a yellow flag before, and I've seen them put
hot dog wrapper on the track.
Oh, yeah. Bug hits somebody's windshield. Look out. Everybody stop the track. And I've seen it where they just put the flag in their pocket and they say, race it out until you get somewhere dangerous, and then we'll make it safe and we'll call it there.
So at the end of the Brickyard, you had a couple stop starts.
Oh yeah,
and there were a few drivers that weren't happy because the timing of when the flag was thrown. How can we pay attention to all this at once? That's why we bring expert Carl Goodman on the radio today.
So the big part happened before that when Keselowski was coming down to the end on fuel and they didn't know if he was going to make it or not. They get a flag, a yellow flag, with about I think five to go. So they're going to have to go overtime. They get them all stacked up, get them ready to go.
Does that mean I get an extra time out in the overtime session?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. Get a little break, decide what you want to do, conserve some fuel. But then they come to the restart, and Keselowski pulls off into the pits. I'm out of gas, can't go. So that gives Larson right to the front row. And they say he didn't jump the start, but all the statistics, and you look at it, he's going about a mile and a half faster than Blaney when Blaney hits the gas. So
that's jumping the start.
That's
by
a little bit jumping the start. But NASCAR said they looked over it, so what do I know? I'm not an official of NASCAR. I'm just a big fan.
That's right. Carl Goodman is the voice you hear this afternoon. We're talking racing. We're going racing, but we're not. Why aren't we racing? Well, the Olympics have slowed some things down. When we come out of the Olympics, which will run through, I believe, next Sunday, what's next on the NASCAR calendar? We should be getting close to playoff season, as you just mentioned, right?
We are. Next week is Richmond, followed by Michigan, Daytona, and Darlington to finish out the season of our last four before the playoff races.
So four races are left. How many cars are going to qualify for the playoffs to get started here in just over a month or so?
Yeah, it'll be 16 total. And basically, to get into the playoffs, if you get a win, you're automatically in unless there are 17 winners in the, 26 races before the playoffs. It's not likely to happen. You're going to get multiple winners. So you'll take the top 16 based off of wins and then total points in the season. You accumulate points by winning a stage, finishing certain places in a stage, winning a race, where you finish in a race. And those accumulate throughout the season. And you can build playoff points toward, if you are in the playoffs by winning a stage or winning a race, you get some extra bonus points come playoff time. And then each round of the playoffs, once it begins, is three races, and they eliminate four drivers every three races.
Four drivers eliminated from contention or can't race in the field? I know that sounds like a silly question, but we watch golf, and the FedEx Cup playoffs is the top 70 players. Any of those players can win. And when they move to the next week, they have to be in the top 50. Any of those players can win. You can keep winning your way forward. How does NASCAR work so people don't get confused?
So the way NASCAR works is everybody still gets to race. Just because you're not in the playoffs, you can still go out there and win the race. You can go get that prize money. You can.
It just doesn't put you in the bonus pool, right?
Correct. You cannot win the championship. So what it does is if you're in the bottom 13, 14, 15, 16, the first round of the playoffs, and you get that last race and you're out on points, you are eliminated from playoff contention, but you still get to race the season. Even if you win in the round of 12 or the round of 8, you are out, so it does not matter. You can't get back into the playoffs once you are out.
That's an interesting point as well, because it's never happened and it's designed that way, but no one has ever come from outside the 16 and won two or three consecutive races, right?
Correct. It's very, very unlikely to see somebody outside of the playoffs even win a race come playoff time, because those 16 teams are dialed in. They put their best equipment, per se, their best time into the car that's going to potentially win them the championship.
Who are we keeping an eye on as we, A, wind down the season? There's always guys in the bubble, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because we're always looking at, if you got the top 16, we're looking at 16, 15, 14-ish. And then we're probably looking at 17, 18, 19, 20. And you said, if you win, you're in. So if somebody does have, I don't want to say a miracle, but if someone figures it out and puts it all together for a weekend, they can jump into that and knock somebody out.
Well, it's funny you put that way with the miracle. I've got two drivers right here sitting outside the top 16 in points. I've got Daniel Suarez sitting in 17th in points and is in because of his win in Atlanta. And I've got Austin Cindric sitting 19th, automatically in because of his win at Gateway there at St. Louis when Ryan Blaney ran out of gas on the last lap.
So that tells me right now you have 16 plus 2, so we have 18 that are eligible, or do we knock somebody out to get into that 16?
So right now my favorite driver, Chase Briscoe, is sitting outside. He's inside the points, but he's outside because of those two guys behind him.
The win trumps the points.
The win trumps the points.
Gotcha. So Briscoe, then, what can he do besides win to do that?
So with four races left, you can still race your way in on points.
He's second, not out. Third.
Yeah, he is 83 points out of 16, which is a significant amount, but can be made up in four races, especially if you're looking at Chastain, Chris Buescher, Ty Gibbs. Those guys maybe have a bad week or two. He could jump back in there.
So there's still volatility to watch.
There's still wins to be had. There's Watkins Glen. There's a road course coming, which, surprise, surprise, we got an announcement today.
Which one?
Juan Pablo Montoya will be back in the NASCAR at Watkins Glen driving the 50 for the 23XI team.
Because he turns left and turns right.
Yeah.
I thought Martin Truex won every road race. Is that true?
It was a while, but Chase Elliott was pretty good, and A.J. Allmendinger. But
the playoff is the interesting part because it's only three races. But you know what playoffs should be? You should be eliminated. If you wanted just to take the best guys and put them out there, you'd have an IROC series.
Well, that is correct.
We've tried that.
We tried it once.
Exactly. So you hear it in baseball. Oh, the Braves were the best team, or the Orioles had the best record, and they get swept in the first round. Well, that's what a playoff is. It's a different style of what goes on. What are the different tracks are going to run in the playoff? Do they give you a little variety there? Do they do it based on fan or what's best for TV? How does that work?
So there's a couple locations that they visit twice during the season. They get a once during the regular season, and then they do once in the playoffs. Atlanta being one of them, the very first race of the 16, which Atlanta was my favorite race this year. It was one of the closest finishes in NASCAR history. When Suarez beat
at the buzzer.
At the buzzer. He beat Ryan Blaney by 0.003 seconds and Kyle Busch by 0.007 seconds.
That's two sheets of paper.
That's
about it.
They had to look at it a couple of times to see who won. It was a very, very good race.
Let's go to the replay. So you have Atlanta in the mix. Who else?
Bristol will be back in there. You're going to get Vegas again, and then you're going to get Phoenix for the championship a second time.
Why not Talladega? Why not back to Daytona? Because you've already ran twice there. You've
Talladega,
already been there, right?
Talladega is a second one as well. Daytona is a second. Daytona is not in the playoffs, though. They're just racing there twice during the season to kind of give an
– Obviously, the season the Great American Race gets things going. That's
exciting.
Yeah,
that's the first one of the year.
That's always weird for me. And I'm not – well, we won't get into that today. We'll do that down the road. But, yeah, having your Super Bowl in week one is interesting. So when do we come back from the break, and where are we headed?
We are coming back from the break, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, and they will be at Richmond.
That'll be the first of four races to wrap up the regular season before we get into the playoffs. You have any Richmond inside tips for me here, or have you not started studying? Are you on a break as well, like the cup schedule?
No, I don't like to take breaks. I like to keep up on my stuff. I looked over some statistics the other night and looked at the last couple of races run there. Highest running guys that are going to be ones to look at this week will be Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Christopher Bell, and Joey Logano are my four.
Horses for courses? A little bit. Well, you told me Denny Hamlin kills it at the Brickyard, and what was he? He got three laps in, and that was it?
No, he got into the last little bit, and he got wrecked there toward the end, and that's
the beauty
the
of it all.
Scuffle of it all.
That's the beauty of it. You could be the fastest car, the best in the pits, the best everything else, and if someone slides into you, spins you out, hey, that's why we watch. It is a soap opera, isn't it?
It is. That's why there's 35 other cars out there, not just one.
Rubbin is racing, and Carl Goodman brings us the heat. Our NASCAR expert, we're going to bring Carl back before the playoffs start because it's far enough out in there. We didn't get into everything today, just a great overview. What are the drivers doing during this break? Because it's not very often they get one, is it?
It's very rare that I've seen a break this long. They're taking time with their families, getting some vacation time in, kind of a wind down, kind of a cool down before you get ready for the playoffs, especially those drivers that have already qualified for the playoffs. Kind of relax, kind of, all right, now we got to grind for the next couple of weeks and really put the hammer down and, you know, floor it into the turn one.
Come back and see us, please.
I will. Thank you for having me, Glenn.
Awesome. Carl Goodman, my NASCAR expert insider, here on a big show Friday. We'll take a timeout. We will have Diane Daly's news headlines, a Crazy Horse Tavern on Kirkwood. We'll also have our Olympic update as well. And then Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star, a busy day of basketball news. We'll tell you all about it next.